Thursday's Thanksgiving. And we do hope that every one of you have a good Thanksgiving day. Folks, oftentimes we think of gratitude in very, very simple terms, don't we? Gratitude to us oftentimes involves simply saying two words. Thank you. And if we do that, then in our minds we have been gracious, we have expressed gratitude, thanksgiving, and appreciation. But the reality is that gratitude is much deeper than just saying a couple of words. Gratitude involves numerous conducts of one's life. And therefore, for the next few moments, we want to talk about the subject, the conduct of gratitude. And by the time we finish this lesson, what I want us to do is I want us to appreciate what we do completely and totally when we offer up thanksgiving for any good, any service, any gift that comes into our lives. Point number one, appreciation. My friends, when you and I express gratitude, we express appreciation for the gift, and not only for the gift itself, but for the value of the gift. This is the basic conduct of all gratitude, is it not? You need to be appreciative for what you have been given. That's what we say to children sometimes, don't we? Have you ever looked up the definition of the word appreciation? One definition is this: thankful recognition. Isn't that something? Appreciation is not just being thankful. There is a recognition that goes along with the thankfulness. Notice another definition: assessment of the true value of things and the acknowledgement of their worth. Folks, when someone has given us something, when someone has done something for us, it's not just the something. There is a value that is to be attached to it. Let's assume for a moment that an individual purchases for us a $30 gift. You know, in our society today, sometimes $30 doesn't seem like it goes very far, does it? But what if the individual only makes $10 an hour? That individual has given 3 hours of his work week in order to go and buy a gift of $30 so that he can present that gift to you. You see, I don't need to be thankful just for the gift. I need to understand what went into the giving of that gift as well. There is a value that is behind the gift, and I'm appreciative for the gift, but I'm especially appreciative for the value of it. One of Paul's favorite congregations was Philippi. And Philippi was a generous congregation of the Lord's people, and they were constantly giving and giving and giving, especially to the Apostle Paul. And in Philippians 4:18, he says this: I have all, I am full, I abound, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent of you. Does Paul acknowledge the gifts that he has received from that congregation? Absolutely. He said, Epaphroditus made it. Epaphroditus has given me the things that you have given. And guess what? I have everything. I abound. I'm full. He was expressly appreciative of what those individuals had done for him. Point number two. When I give thanks, that is an acknowledgement of the giver's kindness, isn't it? You see, gifts and services are usually things that spring from the heart of man. An individual stops and an individual in his mind thinks, you know, I need to do something for this individual. Or maybe he says more like this, I want to do something for this individual. And folks, the heart usually manifests tremendous kindness when it gives a gift, doesn't it? How many of you have ever said something like this? Thank you. That was so kind of you. Sometimes we may put it like this. Thank you. That was so sweet of you. That's the way ladies say it. But you see, we're acknowledging something more than the gift, aren't we? When we say that. Yes, I understand I've got a gift, but guess what? I realize that beyond the gift, there's a value, but beyond the value, there is a heart that wanted to give me what you have given to me. Folks, we don't see a whole lot of kindness in our world today. You know what a lot of us do? A lot of us like to watch 24/7 news, don't we? And guess what you don't see on 24/7 news? You don't see kindness. You want to know what you see? Folks, you see people rejoicing and speaking evil of other people. You know that? Not only do you see rejoicing and speaking evil, but you see some individuals who take pleasure almost in seeing another individual who is harmed. And we listen to that all day long, and all of a sudden, all of that bad stuff rubs off on us, and we are just as bad as they are. Maybe not in actual action, but in our attitudes and in our thought processes. And folks, isn't it refreshing when there is an act of kindness displayed in our world, and especially if that kindness is displayed toward us? It gives us some hope, does it not? Not all the world is bad. Not all the world is evil. There are still some good people who live in the world. Why? Because there are people who are willing to give out of the kindness of their heart. And when I tell them thank you, I am acknowledging that kindness. Here's something interesting. Folks, it was God's kindness that sent Jesus to die for us on the cross of Calvary. You turn over to Titus 3, beginning at verse 3. Listen to what Paul writes. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He hath saved us. Look up the little word mercy sometime. You know how it's defined? Tender kindness. Mercy is tender kindness. Paul makes mention in this text twice of God's kindness, doesn't he? Not by works of righteousness we have done, but according to His tender kindness He hath saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. My friends, you and I are justified. You and I forgiven of sin. You and I have hope of eternal life. Why? Because of God's kindness in giving Jesus for the sins of the world. And when you and I bow our heads in thanksgiving for what God has done, we are acknowledging the very kindness of God toward us, aren't we? How about this next one, folks? When you and I tell an individual thank you, regardless of who that is, we are asserting our humility. If there is an element of Christian living that is desperately needed in our world today, it is humility, isn't it? There's a lot of pride out there, and not always that much humility. And listen to what Peter says. Being clothed with what? Be clothed with humility. Why? For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Folks, God doesn't want an arrogant individual. God doesn't want an individual who is lifted up with pride. He doesn't want an individual who thinks of himself more highly than he ought to think. He doesn't want an individual who is all about me, myself, and I. He wants someone who is humble. And gratitude asserts humility. Here's what we tell the person. I don't disdain your gift. Have you ever given something to someone and they act like they could have cared less? And you go, who are you? They act like your gift is just nothing. Have you ever performed a service for someone and not a word was said in gratitude toward you? We also are willing to do what? We're willing to bow before that individual in gratitude, aren't we? You see, I'm not too proud, I'm not too arrogant to stand before you and realize you have done something wonderful to me. You are the better, I am the lesser, because it is more gracious to what? To give than to receive. You see, that individual is the best, and I can acknowledge that. That's humility, isn't it? You see, I'm not too good to tell you thank you. Wasn't that the way it was with at least one leper that Jesus healed? The Bible says this, and one leper, when he saw that he was healed, turned again, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, listen to him, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. This one Samaritan, not even a Jew, was willing to prostrate himself before the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I want to give thanks to you for what you have done in my life. Folks, that's humility. That's humility. Point number four. When you and I give thanks for all that we have received in our lives, it avows our contentment. Contentment involves simply this, being satisfied. Being satisfied. And isn't that part of Christianity? Paul writes in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6, but godliness with contentment is what? Great gain, is it not? You see, I don't need anything else from you. Thank you. When an individual gives me something, I almost look at them and I say, you know, I didn't even expect you to do this for me. I'm acknowledging I've got enough. And what you have done is deeply appreciated, isn't it? We are content with exactly what they have given us. There was a home wherein there was this little girl. And on Christmas morning, she gets up. She runs down the stairs into a big living room. And all she sees are gifts galore. There is a huge dollhouse sitting by the fireplace. And in that dollhouse, it's just packed with all the little trinkets, all the little furniture that you could possibly imagine. And sitting just beside it are three dolls that she can play with in that dollhouse as well. On the couch, there is an iPad that's there. She looks a little further down the room and there are five brand new outfits for her to wear to school and three beautiful pairs of shoes. Her parents then take her to the door and they say, "Look outside," and outside there is a beautiful trampoline that's outside as well. The little girl looks around the room. She looks in the backyard. She turns around and she stares at her mom and dad and she says this, "Where is my bicycle?" A little girl who is not content. And notice, she does not acknowledge her parents' gifts to her. No gratitude. There's another little girl. Her mom's a single mom, works long hours to bring in just a few dollars. She comes out of her bedroom on Christmas morning and into a very small living room. She looks and there is a beautiful little doll on the couch. Beside the doll is one outfit and one pair of shoes. And beside that is just a small bag of candy. The little girl looks at it. She turns around. She looks at her mom. She runs into her mom's arms. She hugs her as hard as she can and she says, "Thank you, Mom. What a Christmas." There's a little girl who's content with what she has. And notice that contentment shines forth in her gratitude. Folks, our gratitude says a lot about our contentment. Father, I'm thankful for what I have. And I'm not irritated, and I'm not upset, and I'm not bent out of shape about all the things I do not have that others might. I'm content. Thank you. Notice next, folks, our gratitude articulates our obedience. God wants us to be an obedient people, doesn't He? He wants us to be doers of the Word. That's what James says, "Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." And guess what? The Bible exhorts us to be givers of thanks, doesn't it? In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Folks, you and I ought to be the most thankful individuals in all the world for everything. Just think about this. Someone gives you something and you look at them in their eyes and all you say is thank you. And you mean it. You've just obeyed God. Somebody does something for you. Maybe they didn't even tell you that they did it and yet you find out about it. So what do? You go to the store and you buy a $4, $5, $6 card. Some of them are $20 now. And you write a little note in there and you tell them, "I appreciate it. I'm thankful so much for what you did for me, folks." That's obedience to God. And obedience matters. I want you to listen to what Jesus says in Luke 11, 28. Yea, rather, blessed are they that what? Hear the word of God and keep it. And what you and I need to remember is this. Obedience, even in the little bitty things, is important, isn't it? Jesus said in Matthew 10, 42, just a cup of cold water. And whosoever shall give unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. A cup of cold water. The words, thank you. A little thing. Not picking up sticks on the Sabbath day. A compliment to someone. Paying that half shekel tax that is referred to as atonement money. Opening the door for another individual. Not touching the Ark of the Covenant. Saying, yes, sir. No, ma'am. You see, every one of those are just little things, aren't they? And what we have done is we have mixed some little things that you and I can do today with some of the little things about which we read in the Old Testament, don't we? Little things that either brought joy to an individual or destroyed the individual if violated. Folks, obedience in the little bitty things, as far as God is concerned, matter. And God wants me to say, thank you. Thank you. Another conduct of gratitude is that it enables me to act like Jesus. One of the goals of my life ought to be to mimic Jesus as much as I possibly can. And folks, it is a huge task, is it not? Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should what? Follow in His steps. You and I ought to wake up every day and say, you know what? Everything I do today, everything I long to do today, I want it to be just like Jesus. Question. Was Jesus a man of thanks? If you were in our first session on the sayings of the crucifixion, remember how Jesus sat at meat with those two men in Emmaus? The Bible says that He took the bread, and what did He do? He gave thanks. He blessed it, didn't He? That's not the only occasion. When Jesus fed the 4,000 men, that didn't include the women and the children who were there on that occasion. The Bible says that He took seven loaves and the fishes and gave thanks before He began to break them. Jesus stood before the tomb of dead Lazarus. And as He stood before that tomb, the first thing He did was He lifted up His eyes unto heaven and He says this, Father, I thank Thee that Thou hast heard me. He rendered thanksgiving to His God. When He instituted the Lord's Supper, the second element of that was the fruit of the vine. And guess what He did? He took the cup, the Bible says. And when He had given thanks, He gave it unto His disciples and said, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which shed for many for the remission of sins. He gave thanks even for the cup, didn't He? Folks, listen to me. If we're going to be like Jesus, We must develop the habit of thanksgiving. We've got to be people who do not have difficulty ever saying thanks to another person. It's good, isn't it, to have a holiday to remind us to give thanks? And I hope that it hasn't become so common that come Thursday we have these huge meals and there's very little thanksgiving through the day. But folks, as Christians, we should be thankful for all of our blessings. We should be thankful for all of our gifts, for all the services rendered to us, regardless of the individual who does those things on our behalf. And just maybe, we need to start by thanking those that oftentimes we thank the least, don't we? Think about how much our sibling does for us. Think about how much a mom and dad does for their child. Think about what neighbors do for one another. Think about what good friends do for one another. Think about what brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus do for each other. Think about what God does for us, folks, and how oftentimes those things are done for us and there's never one word of gratitude. Not one. Start with those that are close. It's funny, isn't it? Go to the grocery store, somebody opens the door, what do you say? Well, you little joker. We do, no, we say thank you, don't we? We're sitting there at a restaurant. We run out of our drink. The waitress brings another one, and guess what we say? Well, thank you. And we go home, and people are doing things for us all the time, and guess what we say? Nothing. Maybe it would be good if we start rendering thanks at home first. And thanks to God. There's a beautiful passage in Psalm 79, verse 13. Listen to what the psalmist says. So we thy people and the sheep of thy pasture, what? Will give thee thanks forever. Isn't that beautiful? And a part of that thanksgiving is the last part of that. And we will show forth thy praise to all generations. Folks, our being here today, worshiping our God, praising Him, is one of the ways wherein we express our thanks unto Him for what He's done. How can you sit home and not be present to render thanksgiving to the Almighty God for what He's done for us? There's another element, another conduct of thanksgiving. And sometimes we refer to it as this, thanks living. If God's been good to me, then I need to live a life of thanksgiving before Him, don't I? And that's just simply doing His will. God sent His Son to die on your behalf. He shed His blood so that you could have all of your sins canceled. And He asks you to do five simple things. Hear the truth of the gospel. Believe in His Son. Repent of sins. Confess the beautiful name of Jesus. And then be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. That's it. We ought to be able to have enough gratitude to do the things He asks us to do to receive those blessings in our life. Folks, He just tells us, I want you to live a Christian life, a godly life, a righteous life. I don't want you to live in sin and iniquity. I want you to be faithful to My Word. And when we do that, it's a life of gratitude, isn't it? And yet sometimes even isn't a grateful life difficult to live before God? When He looks at our lives, does He see that gratitude in the way we live? Maybe we need to repent. We need to ask Him for forgiveness and start living like we're truly thankful for what He's done on our behalf. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Won't you come as we stand and sing?